Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada, and on this week we have Nelson Campana, social media creative producer for the Raptors and Leafs, the 22-year-old breakout star of the playoffs with photographs published in the New York Times Keyshawn Mystery, and Alex.
Yo, what about
you're
my resume?
Bylines. Yo,
disposable cameras on my Instagram feed. Please follow me.
It's the Photographer Podcast.
Yeah.
What's up?
We're here. Right before the season starts?
Never done this before.
All photographers. I think honestly though, like, you know, jokes aside, obviously, like, Alex, you did take a lot of photos during the playoffs and stuff. And also, you know, I just missed you, man. So I just invited you.
He was honestly in a lot of photos.
I'm just here sitting in. I'm just here to enjoy the experience.
He's here for the photo.
He's here for the photo.
No, I thought it would just be fun though, just like, honestly, talk a little bit of our careers, because I think we all kind of enter it in little unique ways. And Nelson, I'll start with you. How did you get into your role? And, you know, just, well, I mean, yeah, shit, even just explain what you're doing right now.
Yeah, of course. So about 5 years ago was when I had my last full-time job at as a sales trainer on the retail side for Microsoft. And at that point, that was around 2013-14. That was when Vine popped off. I don't want to get into like the hardcore details of everything, but I'll try to give you like the Coles notes of it. Vine, do you remember Vine?
Yeah, of course, man. What'd you remember? Legendary.
Yeah. So Vine came out, and unexpectedly, I kind of amassed a huge following. And with that, you get obviously the eyes of like agencies and brands and whatever to do stuff for them. And one of those people was a producer by the name of David Crix. Shout out to David Crix from TSN. He hit me up. Long story short, he brought me out to a bunch of things. We worked together quite a bit, and one of those things was a CFL combine that, you know, I came out to do some vines for, and I ended up meeting Mark Valena. Fast forward a bit more, we hit it off after that, and a few months after that, he ended up going to MLSC, and he found a position as a social media game day producer that he thought I would be great for, and he hit me up. This was like a few months after I just quit my full-time job. He's like, you want a position here to do this? And I'm like, yeah. And so from that point, I was just doing Snapchat story, IG story, and Vine, no photos. And a few years into that, I just started taking game photos, you know, for the sake of it and giving it to them. And after that, they pretty much just said, keep doing that. That's kind of how it all started. Like, I have a photography background, but it's more of like a side thing, weddings, you know, corporate events, whatever. But yeah, the sports thing just kind of took off from there. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How big were you on Vine?
My follow count before it all went down was 256,000.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah. You did some like Leaf stuff, right?
I did.
Was it Leaf stuff that made you go like viral or like?
No. People... the one thing, so my first day ever with MLSC was Raptors Media Day. And I remember at this time, I also had a small side business fixing paint chips on cars. This was like my actual small like business that I ran by myself. And I literally came from a dealership. I was kind of covered in paint. I had like my work clothes on, went straight to Media Day. And I remember the first thing they asked me to do, they're like, hey, I didn't know how this worked. I didn't know what Media Day was. I just came. I saw these big sets, crazy. And they're like, hey, look, we have DeMar DeRozan. He's in between photos right now. We need you to do a Vine with him. And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, okay. So I don't know if you've ever seen it. I wish I had it kind of on my phone here. But I, on the spot, came up with this Vine where I turned DeMar DeRozan into a bobblehead. And that was the one thing that kind of like, I guess, set the tone for me in that role. And I was always introduced as like the Vine guy. I was like never like Nelson, like social media. But yeah, we have a Vine guy. It's this is my Vine guy. And anyways, that was how I got it. Yeah.
Through Vine. Yo, rest in peace, Vine, man. I can't wait for the...
Yo, shout out TikTok.
Yo,
I was going to say, who's going to be the go-to TikTok? Nelson.
I've never actually tried TikTok. My daughter just showed it to me like not too long ago, and I think it's awesome. I just haven't wrapped my head around it. I just feel like that's, I don't know, so far beyond me right now.
You're an old head now.
Yeah, I totally am. That's so telling.
Social is like a young person's game.
Though. Yeah.
Why are you saying that like... You're not young.
Cuz. No, I'm trying to fade out, bro.
35
in 2 weeks. No more cloud chase.
Yeah.
It is, though. Every new app that comes through, it just gets more and more confusing.
Yeah.
And like, I watch the TikTok videos that go viral, and I get it, but I also like don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. How do they do that? Yeah. Like,
it's like a different like mindset, yeah, right, of like creating those videos.
And like the whole text on screen.
Yeah,
and,
like all of that stuff.
Yeah. And that's how like music gets popular now too, like the whole,
yeah,
Lil Nas X, uh-huh, and
yeah,
all,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, the new one where the gun's like, wow. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
What,
yeah,
song,
yeah,
is that?
No, like, that's a great song, though. I don't know why.
The funniest one was this.
I've only heard 6 seconds
of it. With the thunder. It's like,
oh,
the four,
yeah,
of them. It's like Harden, KD, Russ, and Serge.
Yeah.
One, like, was it KD that left first? Or no, Harden left first.
Harden
so
left
like,
first.
Bah, one, yeah, one of them gone, and then slowly.
Well, I don't think I heard that. I gotta check that out.
The best video ever.
Really? That's on TikTok?
Yeah, it's on TikTok.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Keyshawn,
yeah,
biggest breakout star of the playoffs, like undeniable, really. What about your path?
It's kind of similar to Nelson's. We had the same person kind of discover us.
Yeah.
So
shout out
my man DK, okay. David Crix. But in high school, I made graphic designs of stuff of sports people.
Why did you do that in high school? It feels like a weird high school hobby.
Yeah, like that. It was my thing in high school. I don't know. I was okay at it, and I just gravitated towards it. I like sports. I played sports, but I wasn't that great at sports. But
yeah,
it was my way of like expressing how I felt about sports, kind of thing. So I made these cool images of players, and then I continued that through high school and university, and. In the middle of the Blue Jays run, there's a wild card game, and Edwin Encarnacion hit a walk-off home run. It was a pretty big deal. And then I made like a quick little edit of it and posted on Twitter, tagged TSN, like Sportsnet, all those kind of brands. And to my surprise, like TSN and Bardown retweeted it, and followed by a follow by David Crix. He reached out to me saying like, hey, love your work. Let's see where we can get started. And so my introduction to like the sports world was through graphic design, and being a part of that team, it was a social media team. We get sent out to different things, and kind of like Nelson, mm-hmm, like you were there at those events, and having kind of not a background, but I did concert photography before, but I would always have my camera with me, brought my camera to these events, and just started taking photos, and it from there, it
you
kind
just
of
backdoored it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's
the,
a very
the Mentos, and then we went.
Yeah, unconventional path, yeah, like towards photography. Like I didn't do like college hoops or like,
yeah,
high school hoops. None of that. Like it's kind of like unfair.
I
like,
know. I mean, because I get questions a lot from, you know, students in school for photography. You know, like, oh, what are your tips? And you know, and it's like I can't really. I'll share my story, but it's not one that's like, oh, just copy this and you'll get in, right?
Yeah.
So I tell people the main thing is just network. Like, yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you know?
Network and like just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, do your own stuff. Build your own portfolio.
Yeah. Your work will speak for itself, but the networking will, you know, just put you in the right places.
And I feel like everyone has talent these days, and everyone has access to the same equipment and resources and stuff like that. And it's a matter of just knowing the right people and being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's kind of like the one commonality between the four of us right now is like, I think we all really approach it in very unconventional ways, right? Like, Alex, for you, people don't know this, but like, you had a former life.
Yes, my life didn't start when I was like 28.
His real name's not Alex.
Yeah, I mean, like, short story. Like, I used to work in accounting. I used to work in accounting firms, like corporate jobs, 9 to 5, actually like 9 to 11. And, you know, my way into writing was just I started a Tumblr and just started blogging. And that's what I would look forward to at work every day. Like, I would show up to work. Yo, they can't take back my paychecks now. I would show up to work, and that's, like, the first thing that I would do. Like, grab a coffee, blog a little bit, go on Twitter, complain about my boss. That's why I went under an alias. Because I would like, tweet.
The original burner account.
No, that's why I went, under the name Stephen LeBron.
Oh.
Because I didn't want anything to be traced to, like, my government name. Because I was doing some pretty specific tweets that, like, if anyone at work read, they would be like, yeah, that's him.
How did you come up with that name? I'm sure you've explained
this
before.
On the day that I started, that I signed up for my Tumblr and my Twitter, there was this clickbait headline that said, Cleveland's LeBron suspended 50 games for steroids. So everybody thought it was LeBron because he was playing on the Cavs. And then when you click on it, it's actually a Cleveland Indians minor league pitcher named Stephen LeBron.
There's a real guy named Stephen LeBron.
For a while, I tried to track him down to like do a story. But yeah, so it was all completely random.
That's amazing.
But yeah, that was it. Like, I started blogging, all that stuff, and then I quit my job. And like you guys said, you know, like, the networking is so key, right? Mm-hmm. Just like reaching out to people.
Don't be afraid to reach out.
Don't be afraid to reach out. That's why I always tell people, like, it's, you gotta have like no shame, right? In a sense. Like,
well, that's the thing when people. That's why when people like message me, I always kind of feel like, you know, I have to respond.
You've been on the other side.
You've been on the other side.
Exactly. Yeah. So, of course, yeah.
Yeah. And then look at Alex now, you know?
He's a photographer.
Now you're a photographer.
Critically acclaimed writer niche and photographer.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about the photography aspect. And, like, just quickly for me, like, it's kind of the same story, really. Like my first job out of university was at the Score, and I was covering, like, NBA, but it was, like, aggregation, like general NBA news and stuff like that. So, you know, like, you're not really getting the same experiences of what I'm doing now. And it just honestly, basically, there was just an outside writing policy that was implemented. So, like, I could no longer write about the Raptors. And so I had to stop writing at Raps Republic. And so I had to find ways around it because I still wanted to establish a voice. So the reason 10 Things became a column was because I wanted to publish something that I could screenshot and tweet out, which is not publishing. It is a tweet. But then obviously for something like to be screenshotted and put it out, like, I needed something to like break it up. Otherwise it's just a wall of text. So I made like a list.
So that was your workaround.
That was fully workaround.
So the fact that you tweeted it as screenshots, like, you were complying with like the contract.
Yeah. And I'm just like lucky that like A, they were just like, well, okay, I guess there's nothing we can do. We're not gonna rewrite the policy for one guy who wants to write about Raptors games for some reason.
It's actually pretty amazing.
The Score did eventually fold your 10 things into your content.
Yeah, over time they were like, well, we see the value in this, like, why don't we just publish on the platform? But that took like multiple seasons for that to happen. And so I was just doing 10 things just as a screen cap. And then the podcast, it was just like, it was a writing policy. So I was like,
I can talk about it.
Doesn't include podcasting. Yeah. So then I decided to do a podcast. And I don't know. And then I realized there's not a post-game show for the Raptors, which is kind of like nuts when you think about it, right? Yeah. Like, every team in sports has a post-game show because that's what everyone wants to listen to. So I was like, I already have like a microphone. I'm just going to start recording like 15 minutes of me just like talking to myself. And it just became a thing. And then, like, you know, you kind of stick with it, and it turns into a brand. That's and so it's, cool. Like, it's a complete backdoor thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? But, like, you know, I think, honestly, that's probably how most people find their way into something like media now, where, like, everything is so flattened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where before there were a lot of barriers to entry. Like, if you didn't have a TV network, if you didn't have a radio network, like, how are you going to syndicate and broadcast yourself to other fans? People are not going to find you. If people don't find you, you're not really working in media. But now it's just so different, right? Like you were a Vine star with like 250 million.
Thousand.
That's a thousand. Like, that's insane.
250. Is that even the world population? Yeah. Yo, Nelson buying followers? Exposed.
And Keisha on YouTube, on IG, like, you know.
I think it comes down to brand. The big thing. And nowadays in 2019, we all have a platform that we can share stuff. Instagram has changed my life, and I'm sure it's changed your life too. With opportunities and just working with different people and being in different places, it's really cool to see. Like, now there's no excuse being like, I have this passion about sports or music or anything like that, but like, now you can't like make an excuse saying like, I have nowhere to put it, or no one's gonna hear me, or stuff like that. Like, you don't have to work for a company. You can just have a YouTube channel and be popular that way, or have a Twitter and be one of the biggest voices for the Raptors and William Liu and even Alex too. Like, and you guys don't work for like TSN or Sportsnet or any of the traditional broadcasters, but you're still very much a part of that community.
Yeah, that's the thing for like, I think all four of us and like other creatives too. It's like, you got to build, I mean, I hate using the word brand, but it's like, you build your own brand.
Yeah,
right? Like, you build your own voice and stuff, and then you become kind of, in a way, your own entity, right? Like, when people know about Nelson, Will, and like Keyshawn, they know what they're bringing to the table and like the type of work. But like, the thing I try to tell like younger writers and stuff too, like, yo, you gotta like create stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta just you gotta just put yourself out there and put stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, and like, it's gonna feel like nobody's like reading your stuff or like liking your photos or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff takes time, right? Like, in a way, like, if your quality of work is good, people will find it.
Yeah.
Like, they will.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, and it, your boss is not going to be like, do X, Y, and Z. Like, you just got to, like, take it upon yourself and be like, this might be a cool thing. I have a passion in it, and I'm just going to put it out there. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, I'm still going to work on it and make sure people like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you should get to a point where people are trying to follow your path, not trying to follow other people's paths. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you got to create your own path.
Yeah,
I'm here for the fake deep advice.
Different.
Wow.
TED Talk.
TED Talk.
For you guys, Nelson, when was the first time you felt like, in your career, in terms of sports media, where you're like, yo, I've made it? Like, you did something happened to you, and then you're like, in your own private moment in your head, you're just thinking like, holy shit, that happened to me. I'm here.
When Nike sent him his first pair.
I mean, that could be it. I don't know.
No.
That's definitely Alex's moment.
I mean, those are fun moments for sure. But I don't know. I mean, like, the aha moment, like, I feel like I can't, like, kind of deny this whole championship run and, like, how that all ended up, obviously. But I felt like that was really it. Like, I mean, that the moment all that happened and we were like celebrating on the court in the locker room and I was there capturing all of that, it was just so surreal that like I just couldn't believe I was there, and that was my job to do that, and people were looking at me like, that's incredible, like, I can't believe you're doing that. And so that's kind of, I guess, to, you know, your description, the time, like, I've always felt very not privileged, but very fortunate to be in the position that I was in, but that was probably like so far like the pinnacle of like what I've been, you know, of my whole sports photography career, you know. So yeah, I'd say that, if anything.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, what about you?
I have like a small moment that meant a lot to me. I guess like two, three years ago, someone hit me up for photos and they were willing to pay me.
Okay,
yeah.
Like at the time, I still do music photography, but I was like very involved with like the local like Brampton music, like hardcore and like punk and all that metal scene.
Wow.
So that those are my roots.
you're really about it.
Yeah,
you're really different.
Yeah, different. That's my path.
Yeah. Wow.
But like I made friends with that community, and that's kind of like what got me to where I am today. But a band reached out to me, being like, "Hey, like we would like you to take photos of us and we're going to pay you. And that was like really cool to like, someone's going to give me like
they
money.
Value
to, like,
you.
They value yeah, my yeah. work yeah. to like mm-hmm. trust me to like work on projects and stuff like that. So that was really cool. And then also like this culmination of like everything that happened during the Raptors playoff run, like me and Nelson, like there's one person that has a tattoo of both Nelson's photo and my photo on their leg.
On the same leg.
On the same leg.
That's crazy.
It's me, actually. Let me roll my legs.
But like that whole thing, and then as Nelson mentioned before, like just not like appreciative of like me being in that position to give not only the fans justice, but like also like putting forward my best work, and like all the accolades that came around, like the Raptors winning and the whole Yahoo team doing well, the Raptors like social team doing well.
Big ups to Matt and Sohail.
Yeah. Like it all like came together and it was that Raptors championship that kind of bundled it all up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Alex, what about you? When did you make it?
Disposable camera discovery.
Was it when you were named co-head editor of Raptors HQ, and Reynolds?
You know, I don't know if there's like a moment. I think it's just like over time. When you have publications like actually reaching out to you and like offering you like stories to do, kind of like what Keyshawn said, right? Like people reaching out being like, mm-hmm. oh, can you shoot for my band and stuff? Like, you know, when the conversations with the editors became easier, or when people start like, you know, becoming familiar with your work and, you know, the process of like pitching stories and things like that just became easier just because there's like a trust, right? And like, obviously, like, I mean, like, being able to write for places like, you know, like I did a photography feature earlier this year for the New York Times, like included Nelson in it. Sorry, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn gets a lifetime plug, though.
He found his own one.
I think Keyshawn didn't need my glow up.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
But like to be able to write for publications like that, like, you know, I couldn't even imagine it when I used to sit at the office and like just really desperately wanted to switch my career, right? Like I still remember hitting up our friend Joseph Gasharo.
Yo, shout out
this is like 10 years ago when I like was just like, I wasn't even in writing yet. And I kept bugging him. I'm like, hey, is there any jobs at the score? Like, I would like do anything, like come in and do whatever. And he was always like, yo, like we need someone more with like experience and things like that.
Right, right.
And then to think like 10 years later, then like, you know, I became too good at the score and, I had to leave and beef with him online.
Unpublishable.
Like, it's crazy.
That's a real glow up.
No, but for real, it's crazy. Like, I used to hit up like Blake Murphy, like shout out Blake.
Yeah, shout out Blake.
Being like, hey,
man.
You know, I'll write for free at Raptors Republic.
Yeah.
I remember because I moved to New York for a little bit. So when I first moved to New York, that was when the Raptors played the Nets. So that was, like, the first playoff run of, like, this whole era, right?
Right.
And, like, I went to the games just as a fan, and I'd be like, hey, Blake, just let me write about it.
Right.
Like, that's when I started to write. And just to think about that, and now, like, being able to work alongside people like Blake and like yourself. Like,
so cool.
I remind myself of that, like, all the time.
Yeah,
like,
you got to.
Like, I do. Like, I'm sure you guys do, too.
Yeah,
just, like,
big time.
Like, when people reach out to you or, like stuff like that, it reminds you of, like, how hard it was try to make it in this industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you can never be comfortable in like what you do. No. Like,
that's right. Because like, if you go in through the back door, you never really know. Because then kind of are aware of the fact that there is no like real permanency.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Doesn't really follow like a specific order. You know.
And creatives come and go, man. Like we're relevant now, but like yo, I'm telling you, like in 5-10 years, like
we're gone.
Other people will.
Why you're transitioning to photography.
Yeah, but that's I'm serious.
It's true though.
Like you talk about like TikTok and all that stuff too. You think about like all our parents and stuff, like older people who don't get social media, right?
We're slowly gonna
become that too.
Yep.
Like it just happens.
Yeah.
Like it happens.
What's crazy to me is like when I was first starting, I followed people like Charlie and Nelson. I was like, yo, these guys do some cool work. Yeah. I would like to be.
Yeah, and now you're like you're a contemporary.
Now we're like all together in the same media room. Like, and what's great is we're all friends too.
Yeah.
And I know like with photographers, Nelson, you probably experienced this. There's like an elitist kind of like vibe.
Oh, whoa, yo, let me hear the photography beef.
it happens in music. It happens in sports. Okay. It happens with just street photographers too. There's like
Tekashi 6ix9ine of photography.
Start snitching.
I'm not gonna say any names, but there's just like this general like vibe that some photographers kind of give out.
That's true.
And it might have to do with like a confidence thing or just stuff along those lines, or maybe someone's idol or something did the same thing to them, so they kind of reciprocate that energy.
Right.
But it's great to go into the Raptors media room, have guys like Nelson and Charlie there, and just be welcoming to like anyone, and it doesn't matter like who you are, what publication you're shooting for. We're kind of just there to do the same kind of job,
and we have fun, you know.
And we have fun. Yeah, yep.
That's sick, man.
So true.
Just quickly to round up, like for me, like the moment that I felt like I made is weird. So I used to make a podcast called The Defeated Pod, which is now no longer exists. I don't want to get into why it no longer exists, but it's unfortunate. But I remember the first time I got Alex to come on the podcast, and we called it Yellow Fist because we talked about, like, I think at the time you wrote a piece with like Ronnie Chang. And
it's funny because I'm having lunch with him today, right after this.
Okay. He's here for JFL.
Wow.
Full circle.
Damn.
Higher Regency, 3 p.m.
And we're going to slash that, man. Damn. And I think you also written a piece, I think, around that time about MC Jin, who was kind of like the original Linsanity almost, in terms of like he had a Linsanity-esque run, and then
he started like a stand-up.
Yeah,
do stand-up in New York, so I shadowed him for a little bit.
We did like a whole podcast about that, and like at the time I was so psyched because I was like, I can't believe I got to talk to Alex about this, because like I was listening to his old podcast, which,
that's so cool.
If you didn't know about Stephen LeBron Radio, like some of the guests, not to gas him up because you're right here in this uncomfortable for you.
Desus Amaro on when he had like 700 followers.
Zach Lowe
came to my apartment. We recorded twice because I forgot to press record.
Seriously?
Wow.
That's how not big he was. He had time to come back.
He's like, I'm dead.
I love that. That's actually great.
But that's amazing, right? Yeah. So like, I was like, it was crazy to have Alex on the show, and so like, that was like, I couldn't really believe. And we were just like, you know, we were doing the same thing we were doing now. We were just chopping it up. I think we were talking about like why Asians like wore slippers in the house. You know what I mean? Like we literally talked about that kind of shit. But the funny thing was like what followed after that was like maybe like a month or two after that, I was with my partner at a show, and while waiting in line, someone pointed out, was like, yo, are you Will? Like, I listen to the Raps podcast, and I was like, oh, that's sick. That's like, it was great. And then as that was happening, someone waiting right in front of me, this Asian woman turned around and was like, I thought that was you. And I was not known at all at the time. And my girl was very impressed. She's like, yo, you really have clout like this?
She wasn't your girl yet. That clout is different.
Yeah.
In real life clout, like, over any internet class.
Yeah, and the girl turned around and she was like, I'm not actually a Raptors fan, but like I listened to that podcast you did with Alex. And it was like, it was really important that you guys talked about like Asian American identity issues and sort of struggles and things like that.
So
and
sick.
It was like, at that moment I was like, there's an actual resonance to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it just like, I mean, ultimately I kind of just feel like, not that we're doing anything exceptional necessarily in a way, but it's sort of like we were elevated out of that crowd, but then you want to make sure that you're representing that crowd to whatever you feel like is honest and
definitely
true.
Yeah, because I mean, all four of us being minorities, like,
and it's different, man. When we go to like a event with the Raptors or something like that, it's just different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like your voices as you get like more popular and well known, like your voices get elevated in a way, right? Like those people who are like, look the same as you, the same color as you.
It means a lot to them.
It means a lot to them, and like, it like your voice matters to them, right? Because in a way, like, if you have a platform, like you speaking out is important. Like no matter how big or small that platform is, they look towards people like us for that. And like even like I remember I went to Keyshawn's what was it, like the creator class session that you had with Charlie. Like it was like a photography session. A lot of photographers came and stuff, right? There was these guys from, what school were they from? Western? Waterloo. Yeah, they were from Waterloo. And I thought, like, we hung out after. Keyshawn and I hung out after. And those guys came along. And I just assumed that it was Keyshawn's friends. Because they're all brown. So then I started talking to them. And they're like, nah, man, we're, like, huge fans of Keyshawn. Like, we just came here to hang out. So then, like, we hung out. And they were, like, just, like, in the presence of like a star.
They're like sniffing his hair.
They offered to like drive us back to Waterloo to like just hang out in Waterloo. I was actually down. But I don't think you were, so it would have been weird.
They weren't going to Waterloo.
No, that's just an example of like there's people out there who like you might not even know about, right? That like check out Nelson's work, Keyshawn's work, your work, and like my work. And like it means a lot to them.
Yeah.
Like it does.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, and again, like not to like play this all up, but
yeah,
part
it's
of
not
it
to
is
guess
like
our
a,
own self.
Yeah,
up,
no,
but
part of it is kind of like a responsibility, right?
Yeah,
like
is,
like when
is.
I tweet stuff, like when the Shane Gillis stuff happened, like the SNL stuff, right? Like it was important to like just like say something, Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be online for the sake of just saying something just to be in a conversation.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I try to pick and choose, like, the stuff that I care about.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah. Like, it's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
TED Talk.
Yeah, it's really a TED Talk.
Alex is dropping knowledge.
I know, right?
I don't know how to transition from that. The next thing I had on my thing was favorite photo that you took.
Mine's easy.
Yeah, mine, so.
It's the champagne Kawhi photo. Like, by far. I mean,
the champagne Kawhi.
The
photo.
Champagne Kawhi.
Or a tattoo. Like, it was a mural on Queen Street.
Yeah. Mural, yeah.
So, I mean, for me, like, ever since we TFC won the championship and I got to cover their locker room celebration, I knew from that point, I was like, man, like, I hope during my time here, I get to do the same for the Raptors. Like, that was like a dream. And I think I was, so after, during game five, when, you know, that big roller coaster of game five at home, I think I was the only person that was actually slightly excited that we lost. And I'll tell you why. It's because if they won in Toronto, there is so many other photographers that would have been in that locker room, and right. I would have been bummed out, and there was no chance of me getting in there. And that was pretty much the only reason. So it was like, okay, cool, I have another chance at this. And I felt really good going to San Fran, Oakland for game six. I'm like, this could be the moment. And obviously they won. And fast forward, going to locker room, they're celebrating, champagne, everything. I remember I was trying to escape, like, this, you know, waterfall of, like, champagne, like, going into my eye. And I was going around, and I noticed really quickly Kawhi being handed both trophies. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I didn't even think of the champagne part. Mm-hmm. I was like, he has both trophies.
Yeah.
And then Phil Handy came with the bottle and cracked it open in front of him, and I was just like shaking. I was like, don't stop shooting. Don't stop shooting. As soon as that happened, I ran up to Sohail and Matt. Shout out, Sohail and Matt. And I was like, I got the photo. We're posting this right now. And I was just like so excited. And it was like by far my favorite photo.
It's an amazing photo. I know this is a podcast, so it's a little hard to like display it. But
you've seen it.
You have definitely seen the photo.
You might have it on your leg right now.
Someone's got it on their body.
He's scratching it right now.
He's just like scratching it and like remembering the memory. Yeah. He's like, wow. Keyshawn, what about you? Favorite photo.
So I have a couple.
That's a flex. I have a couple.
What was Alex wearing it?
Before game seven.
Is it the same shoes, right? Is it Stephen A. Smith standing
that was,
by
that
himself
was a
on
gold
the court?
One.
Actually, that one was also legendary.
Stephen A. Smith stood in the center of the court during a finals game on his phone with like while people were shooting around for like 45 minutes.
Dead in the middle of the logo.
Like, right on the Raptor logo.
Logo Stephen A. Like,
perfect.
Move over logo Lillard. Like, but I have a couple. So before the playoff run happened, it's more music related, but I shot Drake on the Migos tour.
Okay.
And this was last year, and as media, you only get to shoot, it's like first three songs, and then you get kicked out. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you get to stay, if you have a ticket to the show, or whatever, right? And so, went into that show, shot the first three songs, and the stage was set up so the photographer's pit was, like, in accessibility level, so where, like, the... it's like the 100 level where like the broadcast cameras are. And so we were shooting from there, and it's kind of high up. And earlier on in that night, I saw like one of my friends that I went to high school with, and he also happened to work for Live Nation. So anyways, shot the first three songs, got kicked out, and I was kind of like meh on my photos. It was like kind of far away. I didn't really get to capture anything cool because nothing cool in like a concert happens in the first 15
songs.
Minutes
of
the show,
you
right?
You need to wait for the energy to build.
Yeah. Exactly, right? And so I was kind of bummed out, almost heading home, and then I thought, like, hey, like, I saw my friend, like, maybe I'll just message him, being like, hey, can you get me back in? So message him on Instagram saying, like, hey, like, do you think you can get me back into the show? Like, I still have my camera in, like, is that cool? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he said, like, meet me by this gate, and I was met him by the gate, literally opened the door, told security, yeah, he's with me, brought me in, and got me onto like the ground level kind of thing.
That's
right?
How I used to get into Rainbow Cinemas. Right.
Bed
bugs.
going back into the people you know and like the networking, and being in the right place at the right time. Anyways, so he was telling me, like, yeah, on the set list, it says there's a special guest tonight during Sicko Mode, right? And that's Travis Scott, obviously. So, like, oh, I thought, like, there's a possibility Travis Scott might come out. And so I'm in general admission, like, on the floor, like, very close to the stage. And Sicko Mode comes on. Travis Scott comes out. And so good. I, like, as Nelson mentioned before, like, you're shaking in that moment because, like, you want to get this moment. And then they both embraced each other, got that photo, went home, like, kind of posted it, got picked up by Complex, a bunch of, like, Drake fan pages and stuff. And I think he liked it. He didn't repost it, but he still liked it. And that was a cool moment for me because it was, like, a culmination of, like, knowing the right people, like, kind of taking a risk because, like, at any moment, security could be like, hey, like, why are you here? Like, please leave. And that night, I also ran into Devin Booker, too. Like, he was at the show. And I was, like, leaving.
Going back
was,
to the sports side.
He was like, stop double-teaming me.
Yeah. It's like, why was he in Toronto to see Drake? Like, so random. Anyways, that was when, and obviously, from the playoffs, Game 7, the Kawhi shot.
Yeah.
Yep. The Kawhi shot.
One of the Kawhi shots
heard around the world.
No, but that, come on, man. That was in the New York Times and everything.
Yeah. And one of the OD
murals
too, which is cool. Unreal. But yeah, like, even that, just like being in the right place at the right time, like, Kawhi could have easily taken the shot at the other side of the arena, which.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Nick Nurse. Thank you for driving the play up in that corner.
So yeah,
right corner.
Nick Nurse is a real MVP. But yeah, that was cool. And obviously. Yeah. That photo means a lot to me and also a bunch of other people too, and it's just cool to see. And then also, like, last night I gifted Fred with
a
photo of himself too, which was kind of cool.
That was so sick. I saw that video.
Yeah, I mean, like, for you, like, when you start to actually interact with, like, players, you know, musicians, celebrities and stuff like that, is there, like, a nerves kind of feeling? Like, is it weird to do that? Because, like, it's one thing that you've been working in the industry, but then when you're actually up close and interact with them, it does take a little bit of time to get over that almost,
yeah.
Right?
No, it really does. And it's like hit and miss with how they kind of react to you too.
Right.
Like, I'm so used to kind of being looked at by athletes and celebrities as, you know, as a nobody to them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just another guy with a camera, and I get that. So it's like, you know, I don't ever, like, take it to heart or anything. But then there's the times where it's like, oh, cool. Like, he actually made a point to, like, say something, you know, say hi, ask my name or whatever. Little things like that. And you're like, oh, cool. You actually remember those moments. But, yeah, I don't know if it always is hard to get over those things. Like, as much as we're around it every day, it doesn't really change because it's like, you know, when they're – because we don't really typically interact with them every day.
Yeah,
on a one-to-one, you know, basis. So – when that actually happens, like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, remember those ones for sure.
Keish, did you feel any kind of way when you handed Fred a picture of Fred?
Not really. It was more of like a cool moment for me, like, just being able to give it to him. My biggest thing is when taking photos of people, I want the people that I photographed to see the photo and appreciate it.
Right.
And when athletes or artists, like, repost my photos, like, I kind of done my job. Like, they like the photo so much that they want to put it out on their feed and stuff and to share with their friends and family, kind of thing. And so to be able to do that in person is even more special.
Yeah, for sure.
Alex, what about your iconic photos?
My favorite photos have been taken by these guys of me. Yeah. And Charlie, shout out. No, but I do want to say, like,
that's why you wrote the NY.
You know, like, Keyshawn, like, inspired me to, like, pick up a few disposable cameras just to mess around, like, during the NBA finals and when I took some vacations in the summer and stuff. And, like,
you look like a Safeway tourist. Minus the visor.
That's racist. But, like Nelson was saying, and I think Keyshawn too, it's like, I've come to, like, just appreciate, like, there's a lot of work that goes into getting those photos, right? Like, I think people just see the final product. But, man, like, at games sometimes, I'm sure you guys have games where you, like, go for quarters without, like, getting a good shot. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you try to find, like, the right place to be and things like that, right? And, like, sometimes even if you're in the right place, maybe, like, something doesn't work out or whatever. And it's just, like, that's what I appreciate. It's, like, I think from the very, very outside, if you're not, like, a creative person, you might just see those photos and be like, you know, if I was standing right there, I could have shot that Kawhi game winner too, or I could have shot Kawhi, like, celebrating in the locker room. But it's like, that takes like just like reps and like knowing like where to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that's part of the skill too, right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think it's
sure.
hard for these guys to like put into words sometimes because that's just what they do.
Right.
Like they
right.
know, like they've come to know that this is what they do.
Yeah.
So like I guess my thing is just more like I've like just from messing around with like shooting with cameras and stuff, it's like I really appreciate like how hard it is mm-hmm. to like get those shots.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just so I make sure I get more shots of myself.
This is his currency right here.
Do athletes ever reach out to you after you like write a piece about them or
to tell them off?
Is there both like a positive and negative feedback from athletes directly? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I have gotten like direct feedback, like if I write a profile of a player, or even like outside of sports, if I profile someone, like usually we'll have an interaction afterwards. Like I remember, I think I wrote something about Norm, his like rookie season, just a profile for Vice Sports, and I was like the first one to maybe just like put together a story about him and his relationship about his mom, and like that's why Norm and I have been like cool ever since.
That's so cool.
Like Norm just remembers mm-hmm. me from yeah. that, and same with Fred. Like you know when Fred was coming up last year. Or two seasons ago, like I did a big feature on him, did a feature like on the whole bench and stuff. And that's when Fred and I grew close too. It's like sometimes it's like unspoken. Like they'll mm-hmm. come to you and be like, oh, mm-hmm. like saw the story, it was yeah. cool. But then other times it's like you know that they've read the story because they make time for you. Like that they wouldn't have before.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. they trust like what you're doing. And they know that you're not wasting their time. So a lot of the feedback I would say is actually more like indirect. It's like you build those like relationships mm-hmm. over time and stuff.
And the same thing works with like photography too. Like mm-hmm. if you mess with an athlete or an artist when they're coming up, rather than like, right. oh, they have like this following now, a little bit of clout.
Right.
You're not yeah. just clout chasing yeah, now. Yeah. You've already like established a relationship right. with them, and they kind of mess with what you're doing because you're both trying to be big, right? Whether it's a creative or a yeah. athlete too, right? And if you link up at the same time and you're kind of growing, they kind of respect you when you're
yeah.
when you're kind of further along in your career yeah. being like, you weren't just here when I was good. You're like
right.
you were here from the beginning.
Fred talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. about like bandwagon fans and like yeah, yeah. people who haven't been here since day one. And
man, stuff. Like in the same finals, like people switched up on him like yeah. halfway through.
To be fair, he was playing like Jeremy Lin for the first half. No.
Yeah, that's racist.
Slash.
That's racist.
Racist. HR.
Oh, man. Where do you guys see sort of like the future of sort of what we do? You know what I mean? Like, I think we've sort of indirectly given our advice to other people that I think want to do something like this. But like, where do you feel like the next wave is coming from? Is it TikTok?
Yeah. Everything's going to be published on TikTok.
I can't wait for somebody to like be huge in the Raptors space on, yeah. on TikTok.
Hey, we yeah. have a TikTok guy.
Oh, you do?
No, I'm just saying that's going to be the next guy.
Yeah, that could be you, man. That's how you get 250 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, 250 million.
You're going to be hot in China. That's going to be fine.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think the like the stage is getting a little bit more crowded because these, you know, social media just makes
more accessible.
Everything's more accessible. So for one, you know, there's going to be way more competition no matter what. And that's, you know, going back to what Alex said, you can never be comfortable in this space because once you are, you get taken over by someone else, right?
Yep.
And I'm an older dude and, you know, on the come up, like with Keyshawn, he's so young.
He's 22 he's years
little
old.
Little freaking
man.
Baby.
That's wild.
Immature.
Immature.
No, 22 years old, I was 22. Going to a Starbucks by Jane Station or Runnymede, I forget which one, and just like sitting there and then writing on like my own personal blog called Amusing Musings about how fucking Steve Novak can play a role in the Raptors offense. And 22 years old, Keyshawn is on a plane
yeah.
going to Oakland for the finals.
I was blowing my paychecks at bottle service every Friday. Yeah. Easy on the
I was kid. Still going to raves at 22, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I have my daughter at 23. Shout out, Charlotte. What's up?
Wow.
Shout out. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, you never will feel comfortable with it. Because there is no permanency. Like, there really isn't, especially as things move. Like, for me, like, I almost feel bad because, like I read a lot about the Raptors. And literally anybody who writes about the Raptors, I'll read about it. But, like, there's only so much you can read. And then eventually you're, like, on forums and message boards. And you're just like, honestly, you get to a point where, like, there's not much difference.
Yeah.
Someone just clearly thought it out and tried to self-edit and stuff like that. But, like, it, you know, the ideas sort of become granular. And everything's just right there. It's really just about what you make of it. And that's what's, I don't know, it's kind of scary about the thing, but.
Just keeps you on your toes. Keeps things interesting.
I think the next step for me is, like, moving into more, like, a leader kind of thing in the space.
Okay.
And, like, sort of like with the workshops I've been doing with the creator class this month has been cool to just see people come out and like take knowledge from me and stuff. And obviously I still have a lot more to learn from everyone and in different aspects of my life, but moving forward I want to be in a position where I'm kind of like overlooking it, not physically like shooting or editing or doing stuff like that, just being in a position where I can kind of look over people and give people advice and kind of managing that role, because I know like 2 or 3 years from now there's going to be another me on the block kind of doing the same thing as me and probably even better, and you just got to be aware of that and not be discouraged by that, but also like be a mentor to those people and kind of for them to look at you as someone to look up to.
And being a mentor is so big, man, because like, we talked about it right at the beginning, right? It's about who you know, and sometimes I think in our spots, like, it's our responsibility to raise other people up, like, not to gas up Alex again, but like from a very, very early position, Alex took me under his wing. He looked at it, was like, "You're Asian. I got you."
That was actually it. Yeah,
that was exactly it.
You look like me. Remember when people thought you were white?
Yeah, that was a thing. That was wild.
No, only knew your voice, and they thought your Asian avatar was a joke.
Yo, but that actually, that's
this is a real like phase that happened.
I actually screwed me in for a while too, because like they're like, "I didn't realize you're Asian until you said you were making dumplings," and I was like, "I was like, I've never not seen myself as Asian," but it like actually messed me up for a while. I don't know if I started like incorporating more like Mandarin into my podcasts. Yeah.
But back to gassing me up.
But yeah, no, but seriously though, without Alex and the guy like Alex, and of course like
that's right,
the other guys that have really influenced my career, like Blake is such a nice dude about everything. Like, I took Blake's job like multiple times. As he got promoted, I would take his previous job. So that's also a great way to go up in the industry, is like follow someone successful.
It goes back to it goes back to what they were saying too about how there's a certain like group of photographers who are very supportive of each other and things like that. You need that in like writing too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when you're like a person of color.
Yep.
Because it's hard to get those positions. It's really hard.
And you've talked about how like disorienting and almost intimidating in a way it was when you started doing it. You're just like, what's going on in this room? Like you told me in times like you didn't even necessarily want to be in that room. You didn't really enjoy it the same way.
Yeah, there's still times when I don't like being in the media room.
Yeah
when I'm out there.
No. Being in those spots. Well, now that you're there, it's even worse because people confuse us, which is another level of stress.
That's how I knew I made it, when someone came up to you and was like, "Yo, bro, great 10 things today, man."
But I will say, this has happened. I will say, someone at Livestock also thought I was you.
Amazing.
Yeah. I tried to get a discount out of it, didn't I? No, but like, I think being in that room, like, I think when I first got into this, I thought, oh my God, like, working in sports is going to be like the greatest thing, right? Like, yo, you get to go to the arena, write about the game. Like, on a very fundamental level, you're being paid to be at a basketball game.
Yeah.
Which is like fundamental.
Hundreds of dollars.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me. Like, every time I step on that court and take that IG photo of my shoes, like, that's what I think about. It's deeper. It's deeper than just the shoes. No, but like, for real though, like, being there, honestly, the one big surprise for me was that how like cliquish or like things still are.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it was a quick, like, it was like a reality check for me of that, you know, whatever industry you work in, that's just how the world operates, right? Like, there's different hierarchies, and like, people will group you into different classes and stuff like that. And like, I mean, we don't need to steer off into like a different section, but like, at times when, like, the more I've accomplished and I feel like I'm still not being respected by certain parts of the industry, even though I feel like I've accomplished more than a lot of other people, that stuff is hard for me to take.
Yeah.
And, like, what's crazy, sorry to cut you off, but people only, like, mess with you if they know, like, you're kind of established. Yes. If you're just, like, walking into a room and no one knows who
I've had so many people, like, they don't know who you are.
Like, who is this guy?
They'll barely give you a handshake. And then maybe they'll look you up online or something like that. And then the next encounter is completely different. Suddenly they're like messaging me on Instagram or messaging me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like,
and that happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And I think that part is like, I mean, again, like, it's not like the hardest thing to like deal with.
Right.
But it's, I think it's things that you need to be mindful of.
Yep.
Because people will just treat you a particular way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about the podcast, really. I think, Nelson, we got to get you out of here for sure.
Yeah, I got a meeting, unfortunately. This is like so much fun. I could sit here all day, though.
Yeah, no, cool. this is great. But
we're gonna start our own podcast.
Yeah,
let's just start.
Seriously, let's keep going.
Yeah,
6 hours.
No, but it was great. Honestly, I think obviously, like, we didn't talk as much about Raptors right now, but like, I mean, A is the offseason, and B, like, I think it's important to know like what goes into the process of what we're doing,
being in the sport media field for sure.
Yeah, and that's honestly the question that I get the most for sure. It's not about like, yo, what do you think Pascal's average gonna be next year?
It's like how you got in here.
It's gonna be, and it's like, what advice do you have? So I feel like I hope this, you know, shed some light on that process. And, yeah, so let's just go around. Nelson, where can people find you and your work?
So my sports photography page, I just changed the name. It used to be Nell or Never, but I just changed it to Nelroy Jenkins.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nelroy _ Jenkins. But my personal account, which everybody can find me at, it's a lot easier to find, is Nelcam, Nelcam. Yeah, pretty much that's where I am mainly.
Lots of wholesome content.
Yeah, lots of wholesome. A lot of my kids, but I think you'll find some fun stuff there too. So
yeah, and you can find some of his work, you know, on the Leafs account, on Leafs, the Raptors account. You know, Argos.
Argos traveling to Argos.
Yeah.
All I have to say is follow NBA Media Fits.
Yo, that's it.
Oh, yeah. We're coming back.
It's coming back.
We're coming back.
I actually have an idea. I want to do Will Lou Fits. Because he won't run
a week. Will Lou
Fits. I do wear very strange.
Because he won't run his own account. So I feel like let's start an account for him.
Is this his burner account?
Let's start an account for him.
Amazing.
Then you can start tagging him and stuff when he's.
It's like Joe Budden Fits. It's Will Lou Fits.
So that's it. That's the only promo. Follow NBA Media Fits.
All right, and Stephen LeBron. All right.
And _ Keyshawn Mystery on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yo, some point you got to get big enough to you really make it when you
just Keyshawn.
Just Keyshawn.
Yeah.
No _, no last name, nothing.
Just that's Keyshawn. The problem, though. I was trying to find a name to switch my Nell or Never account to, and everything's taken. So I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So.
All right, there you go. Thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you for having me.
And next week we have an exclusive interview.
With Keyshawn and Nelson.
No, not bad. Unfortunately, no. We have Jeff Landicho from Open Gym coming up, so listen to that one.
Let's go.
Yeah.